Good afternoon, New York, and the rest of our listeners around the globe. My name is June Stoyer, and I'm the host of the Organic View Radio Show. Our podcast is available on iTunes, Zune, and all major podcast providers. So if you can't catch the show live, you can download it or simply use our free podcast player, which is available on our website at www.theorganicview.com. If you'd like to connect with us, please post a question on our wall on Facebook or send me a tweet at June Stoyer on Twitter. If you'd like to be on the show or would like to find out about sponsorship opportunities, please contact us at questions@theorganicview.com. Today's show is sponsored by Austria's Finest Naturally Authentic Pumpkin Seeds and Pumpkin Seed Oil from the Steiermark, available at organicuniverse.com. Listeners of The Organic View can receive $1 off their purchase by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. That's ORGVIEW. Also, don't forget to check out our contest section on our website to submit your information for our free monthly giveaways. For more information, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com/contests. On today's show, Tom and I are going to discuss whether or not Lowe's decision to phase out products treated with neonicotinoids is an actual victory. We're also going to talk about a recent study from the University of Maryland on imidacloprid, neonicotinoids on social media, and why 100 young leaders from across the globe are meeting in Australia to discuss how to feed a hungry planet. And lastly, if we could squeeze it in, whether or not our future includes GMOs. But first, I'd like to welcome to the show my favorite beekeeper in the world, Mr. Tom Theobald. Good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon, June. We're having a nice, wet spring snow here in Colorado.
Well, in New York, it's absolutely beautiful, and I'm happy for once our weather is better than yours. So nice to have you back
after our Easter break.
Well, all the festivities and everything. So this is the first show that we've done in a few weeks. So now we have a lot of stuff to talk about today and a lot of catching up. The first subject that I'd like to talk about is this new decision by Lowe's to phase out products treated with neonicotinoids. Personally, I think it's a very big step in the right direction, and I know that there are a lot of people that feel differently. First, I would like to begin by reading a statement that was sent to me by Tiffany Fink Haynes, who is from Friends of the Earth. She is the Food Futures Campaigner, Food and Technology Program, Friends of the Earth U.S. This is what she sent to me. She said, "We are pleased Lowe's is listening to consumer concerns and to the growing body of science telling us we need to move away from bee toxic pesticides by taking steps to be part of the solution to the bee crisis. Lowe's is the second largest home improvement retailer in the world, and it is the largest garden retailer to make time-bound public commitments to phase out neonicotinoids." I think that this whole decision is really sending a message to smaller retailers who really cater to the gardeners as well as the people who just buy random plants and whatnot. People are very loyal to different shops that they patronize. So when a big retailer like Lowe's says something to this magnitude, I think it's a big step.
Well, do you want me to comment?
Of course.
It is a big step, and I would not disagree with what Tiffany has said and with most of what you have said. It is a step in the right direction, but my concern is there seems to be little conception of the magnitude of this environmental poisoning. And first off, I'd like to say I think it's inappropriate to try to regulate these poisons at the point of sale. It's unfair to Lowe's and many of these other retailers to expect them to enforce the regulation on these poisons because we've been failed by the Environmental Protection Agency. So I think we put them in a very difficult position unfairly. But were they to continue selling these products, they would be perfectly within the law. There are no restrictions on their sale, which is a tragedy in its own right. The reality is, however, that while this is a step in the right direction and a recognition of the problem, nobody seems to appreciate just how massive this poisoning is and how pernicious these chemicals are. They're among the most toxic ever created. There's no safe dose. They are quite literally the plutonium of pesticides. They may not stay around for thousands of years, but they'll stay around long enough to wreak extreme havoc on the environment. Years, in many cases, decades. Lowe's is really not committed to anything other than a lot of feel-good words. And I hate to be critical of them, but I would quote what Graham White said just recently when commenting on this, and this is directly from a statement by Graham, and Graham has been involved in these issues for quite a while. He said, "All that Lowe's have actually said is that they will phase out neonicotinoids within 48 months. In non-PR spiel, that's 4 years. Thousands of small beekeepers will not be in business in 4 years. I think we need to start paying much closer attention to the magnitude of this poisoning and begin correcting it at the source. The EPA has failed the American people miserably."
I completely agree, but the bottom line is, we have to start somewhere. We're not getting the desirable response from EPA. In fact, we're not getting any response from EPA. Look at
right.
where.
Yeah.
Let's take a moment to take a look back at where we've been. Last June, there was the whole announcement from the White House. There was going to be immediate action to help with the pollinator crisis. And what happened with that, Tom?
Well, it's languishing, and the EPA has effectively thumbed its nose at the office of the president and said that they'll respond when they're damn good and ready. You know, we haven't talked about the concept of regulatory capture in quite some time,
yeah.
But that's exactly what's gone on here. We have a regulatory agency that was chartered. Its fundamental charter is the protection of the people and the environment against unreasonable risk. And yet they've been captured by the very industry that they're supposed to be regulating, and they're carrying out the dictates of that industry. They've become a marketing agency for the pesticide industry, and it's a disgraceful example of regulatory capture, and it goes unchallenged at any management level, either within the EPA or higher up in Congress. This kind of conduct is allowed to serve, and it does not serve the American people.
Now, it's interesting that you say that, because on Twitter, there was a tweet Bayer Crop Science US put out on the 15th of April, and the tweet says, "Honored to take home first place in the events/media category at official NAMA for the hashtag Bayer BeeCare Center. The NAMA is the National Agri-Marketing Association, which is the nation's largest association for professionals in marketing and agribusiness." How about that? It's on Twitter, folks. Can't make this stuff up.
Uh-huh.
So isn't that quite interesting? So at what point is the bee decline going to actually be addressed? Are we still going to see this whole dance around what the core problem is?
For now, at least, we're continuing to see this ritual dance. I call it the Kabuki Theater. nothing has improved. Bees are still being lost at a phenomenal level. Most of the commercial operations in the United States are in very precarious position. Many of the smaller beekeepers have already gone under. Probably the most obvious to the average listener would be the decline of the monarch butterflies. That's gotten some press. It's declined by about 90% in the last 20 years, concurrent with the introduction of these agricultural technologies. And were it not for the presence of the beekeepers, I have no doubt that we would see the same kind of collapse in the world of the honeybee. The only reason that we haven't seen those 90% declines is because we have beekeepers who are continually keeping that population propped up. But if the beekeepers can no longer keep them alive, then we'll see the same sort of cascading disappearance of the honeybee.
Tom, I think it's important at this point to just remind our listeners what exactly these folks are doing to sustain their operations.
Well, they're trying to, they've shifted away from honey production, which was the traditional income producer of American beekeepers. And instead, they've invested their energy and their resources into producing bees. And the reason for that there is twofold, really. In the area of pollination, they can make more from pollination fees than they can from the sale of honey. And a weaker colony can suffice for pollination. A weaker colony cannot produce a good honey crop. So the, one of the reasons for the shift is because of the value of the bees themselves for pollination, and California would be the leading example of that. On the other side of the coin is the package bee industry. A package of bees is usually 3 pounds with a separate queen, and it's like a seedling tree. It's the beginning of a new colony. And many of the beekeepers are replacing their losses with packages. So the package industry has helped to sustain the population of U.S. bees by providing those packages in the spring to beekeepers who have lost their colonies. So the package industry, obviously, their objective is producing bees. So we've shifted away from honey to bees, and they're splitting their colonies as severely as they can and turning one colony into two colonies, into three colonies, sometimes into four colonies. And they've managed, for the most part, to keep their numbers. But even at that, if they were honest with you, the numbers are still declining rapidly. They can't, this is not sustainable, in other words.
Tom, I just want you to briefly talk about the financial component that many people have no clue about. How much are these folks sacrificing? I know that many of them are taking a second mortgage on their home. Can you just share what some of the things that you're hearing from the beekeeping community with our listeners?
You know, I'm hearing surprisingly little from the beekeepers. Beekeepers, for the most part, come from the farm community, and they've grown up to be resilient and self-sufficient, and they don't share a lot of the intimate details of their lives with other than their close friends. So you don't hear a lot of whining and complaining from the beekeepers about what they've done or haven't done. You have to kind of read between the lines and pick this up in the course of the conversation. These beekeepers have done everything they can to keep their businesses solvent, whatever that might require. And for some, it's meant mortgaging their valuables. The end result, though, is not going to be good because we cannot keep these bees alive and productive in sufficient numbers to support a beekeeping industry.
It's something that I think more beekeepers need to talk about and not allow their operations to completely fail. There's so many beekeepers that are going out of business, and unfortunately, there is no news story to cover it. There's no nothing. They just basically fade away. They just disappear. And the few beekeepers that we've interviewed that have talked about what their experience has been have been few and far between. It's just wrong. These are family operations that have been in existence for multi-generations.
It is an American tragedy. As important as the beekeepers are, and I've said this before, I believe, and I hope I'm wrong, and I've said that before, we're facing what may be the most massive poisoning of the environment in history. And what we get is excuses and evasions and diversions, and it's a disgrace.
Well, speaking of excuses, let's talk about this recent study from the University of Maryland. It's in regards to imidacloprid. Basically, they're trying to conclude that it does not significantly harm honeybee colonies at real-world dosage levels. This is just preposterous. When you take a look at the research conducted by Dr. Hank Tenneke's, the study that he did on the dose-time ratio, that basically cinches it up. And nobody's ever challenged that study. So it's interesting, they are now trying to worm their way in and try to say differently.
this is part of the industry approach to confuse the issue and make it look like it's a great complicated mystery when it's not. It's multifactorial. These are the kind of people who would shoot someone in the head and then conclude that they died from a sudden fall. This is misuse of science. And I don't know in the case of this one, I haven't read it, but certainly there are many things at work. One of the problems with this family of pesticides, the neonicotinoids, is they make the bees vulnerable to a whole host of things that are out there in the environment. So, of course, there are other things contributing, but it's clear from the science that it's really the family of neonicotinoids and some of the other pesticides. The other pesticides aren't blameless, but the neonicotinoids seem to be the major player, and they're the most widely used in history, so it makes sense that they would be the most major player. But we still keep getting these articles from researchers who would claim that it's a great mystery and it's very complicated, and the bees aren't just dying from the neonicotinoid, they're dying from pathogens and parasites and head colds and the flu and tummy aches, and it's an embarrassment. I'm embarrassed by these scientists, and I'm not even a scientist.
I couldn't agree more. Also coming from Twitter, and folks, if you just Google the hashtag neonics, you can take a look at what I'm looking at right now. It's very interesting. There are two tweets, one on top of the other. The older of the two tweets, should I say, is from @Dolly48, and I don't know if this person is male or female, but they tweeted, hashtag neonics equals 5,000 times more toxic to bees than DDT. Help us to help our pollinators. Let's see, this is actually taking us to thesoilassociation.org. You know, that's a pretty strong statement coming from them. And then right above them is a tweet from @BayerForCropsUS. And this was tweeted 4 hours ago. And it says, studies found that hashtag neonics add to the North American economy and benefit entire communities. And what's interesting about this particular tweet, it takes you to a website called growingmatters.org. This is just unbelievable. It says, the title is called The Value of Neonicotinoids in North American Agriculture. And what's interesting is it says, this report series researched and produced by Ag Informatics LLC is a comprehensive analysis of the economic and societal benefits of, I don't even know how to pronounce this one, nitroguanidine, neonicotinoid insecticides in North America. The research was sponsored by Bayer Crop Science, Syngenta, and Valent in support of regulatory review processes in the United States and Canada, with Mitsui providing additional support for the turf and ornamental studies. Isn't that interesting?
These corporations have whole departments devoted to spinning the news, the science. And you need to read many of these articles with critical judgment. And I would say that you should read the ones that we suggest with critical judgment.
Well, right below
these
that.
These are billion-dollar products, so a few hundred thousand, a few million thrown at the PR end of it is not, it's just a business expense for these people, and they're doing everything they can to convince the people that these things are beneficial and harmless, and they're going to feed the planet and all of those wonderful things. But if you look beneath the surface, you'll find that the poisoning of the environment is enormous and pervasive and pernicious.
And we've been talking about this for how many years, and nothing seems to change?
Well, you and I have been talking about this for several.
And once
I've
again,
I've been fighting
nothing...
these pesticide problems for my entire 40-year beekeeping career. And I'd like to say, in support of Tiffany and many of the other environmental groups and NGOs that have spoken out, 10 or 15 years ago, we were fighting these battles alone. From the Second World War on, and even before then, we've been fighting these chemical battles alone. And it's very helpful to have these people join in and speak in support of what we're concerned about. So I don't want it misunderstood. When I criticize Lowe's and the actions that they've taken, it's not a criticism of the efforts of the people who brought that to fruition. And I think it is a step in the right direction. It's a recognition of the seriousness of the problem, and hopefully the next step will be even bigger.
A few years ago, I can't remember if it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I remember interviewing Walter Hoffaker, who is the president of the Professional Beekeepers Association and the president of the German Beekeepers Association, and the subject of the interview was, are neonicotinoids too big to ban? And we addressed the economic impact and whether or not they even can be banned. And Walter did a fantastic job basically breaking everything down and going over every single component piece by piece. And by the way, Walter, if you're listening, thank you so much for all of your support over the years. But that was really a wonderful article or a wonderful interview.
Can your listeners access that, June?
Yes. If they go to theorganicview.com, up at the top, there's a link for archives. And that contains the entire archive for all the shows that I produced and hosted, for that matter. Granted, we had to rebuild our databases, but everything...
Why was that?
Well,
were you hacked?
Apparently, there is an interested party or parties that felt the work we've been doing for the last, how many years have we been doing this? 8 years, was problematic. So, unfortunately, we sustained some difficulties and were basically kind of wiped off the internet as far as any of the work that we've done on neonicotinoids especially. So,
kind of like North Korea, huh?
Kind of, but not quite. And it's not as, you know, it is what it is. But the thing is that we're back. So
here we are.
I don't think we're going anyplace anytime too soon.
If we do, I think they ought to investigate.
That would be great. Having said that, the previous tweet I'd like to mention comes from a reporter at Reveal and Sir Online. Her name is Rachel Bale, and it's at Rachel_Bale. She tweeted, neonics linked to honeybee deaths harm more than just the bees. And this is an article the New York Times published. And the date of the article is, I do believe, April 8th. It was written by David Jolly. It says, pesticides linked to honeybee deaths pose more risks, European group says. So once again, when you go on Twitter or whatever social media site you want to go on and you see the discussions about neonicotinoids, you're going to see the support to keep them on the shelves and continue the production of these chemicals because they are very profitable. And then you see so much opposition by people who understand what the global impact is on the environment. And let's face it, the same water that the honeybees drink is the same water that we do. So there is no escape with this. And this isn't conspiracy theory. This has been scientifically proven by how many scientists, Tom? We have Dr. Hank Tanikis, Dr. Dave Goulson, Dr. Menzel in Germany.
The worldwide assessment on neonicotinoids reviewed over 800 peer-reviewed studies on the neonicotinoids and came to the conclusion that they were clearly involved in these bee losses. And what kind of gets lost in the discussion is all those other life forms that have no mentors. We don't have microbe keepers. We don't have we do have earthworm keepers, but the 5,000 to 10,000 times more toxic than DDT is based on the LD50s. That's the level at which 50% of the population is killed immediately or within a short time. The LD50s for the lower level of the food chain, and this would be not only the honeybees and pollinators, but earthworms and soil microorganisms and freshwater invertebrates, this is having a terrible effect on the environment at that level, and that's the foundation of the whole food chain.
Well, it just seems as though, regardless of how much scientific research has been accumulated, this is not a battle that is going to end anytime too soon.
This is not a battle of science. This is a battle of power and money and governmental corruption. And the sooner we recognize that and begin to recognize what the real foe is, the sooner we'll begin to make some progress. I think Congress needs to be put on notice, not only for many of the other things that are in the news, but for this. Their lack of performance in the face of this massive environmental disaster has been disgraceful.
And that's an understatement. The last topic for the show, I just want to briefly talk about a post that was put out by Bayer Crop Science, and I'm not picking on Bayer Crop Science. They just have a lot of interesting stuff to say. I really wish that they would follow me back on Twitter. They used to follow me, and then all of a sudden, I guess they don't like me. I don't know. It hurts my feelings. In any event, this is an article that they posted, and it says 100 young leaders from across the globe to meet in Australia to discuss how to feed a hungry planet.
Get them while they're young.
Well, it's just, Tom, in Australia, can you just briefly recap what the situation is in Australia, especially with the honeybees?
If you listen to what the corporations have to say, Australia is sort of a Garden of Eden. They're not having any problems at all, and the reason is they don't have any varroa. But if you talk to the Australian beekeepers, they will tell you that they're having the same problems that American beekeepers are. Their Environmental Protection Agency has been corrupted in the same fashion, and the difference is they have a lot more wild land where they can retreat to. They're not as subjected to the industrial agriculture, but they're having terrible problems with the neonicotinoids. And it's interesting, if we see an uncontaminated environment, we think it's healthy. If Bayer and some of the others see an uncontaminated environment, that's an unexploited market. And that's what Australia is.
Unfortunately, you're right. Tom, thank you so much for joining me tonight, or this afternoon, rather. And folks, tune in each week as Tom and I continue to discuss the issues surrounding the impact of neonicotinoids. And don't forget to check out our contests. Each month, we have a special contest, and the information to find out how you can win the prizes that our generous sponsors are offering is available at www.theorganicview.com/contests. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you,
Tom.